You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The Bluebird school bus, yeah.
Yep, that's part of the lore, like, am I right, Roy?
I feel like driving a bus with a flat wheel, you would get tired of after like 2 days.
Is there a distinction for you, Greg, in like a school bus versus like a, I guess, a city bus or whatever?
As long as it's got the flat wheel. Keep in mind, I grew up a Honeymooners fan, and we all know that Ralph Cramden drove a bus.
Bus driver, yeah.
That's part of the lure of bus driving as well, was Cramden.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of
bus drivers in movies or TV? First,
you're going to say that Chris Farley from...
boom. That's it. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah. So...
No.
Who do you think of, Roy?
Ralph Cramden.
Yeah. Got to be Ralph. Hey, Ralphie.
I don't know any other bus drivers. Outside of probably Miss Frizzle, the Magic School Bus.
There you go.
And she's a teacher. She drove her own school bus.
Ever watched it?
You know, my track coach, who was also the athletic director in high school, was the one that would drive the bus, which I always thought was interesting. Like, there were some people that were
triple
the bus
threat.
Drivers. Yeah, he was a jack of all trades. He also had
He's Jose Oquendo of athletic directors.
He'd also drive around with a tractor, and we always kind of wonder, like, what is he doing, and how did he get them to buy him a tractor that he's driving around, like, the field in? But he was always up to something. Yeah, he was a jack of all trades. He could kind of fix and do it all.
I feel like a good run of the tractor could be very, very relaxing, you know? You gotta have a piece of wheat hanging out of your mouth, the right hat on, right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Even if you're not doing anything, just driving around, it feels like a good feeling. Like, I'm just kind of driving around the tractor, getting a lot of the land.
Sure, there's plenty of those in Davie.
We rarely agree on anything. I'm glad we all agree on the long piece of wheat needing to be sticking out of your mouth.
Right. Yeah. If wheat's not available, a long strand of hay.
Yes. Right.
He also, Stugatz, would teach us to tell time if we didn't have a watch based on the sun, and showed us like a hand thing that you would do up to the sun that would tell you the time. Yeah, and I was kind of like, but I feel like, I mean, I guess I just wasn't getting it because he was always close to right, but I was like, I just feel like I can put my hands any way and just kind of guess more or less what time it is. Also, like, I know what time we got here, so I have a general idea of how long we've been here. I can figure it out more or less.
Does he have a sundial in his backyard?
I don't know. I've never been to his house.
You know what he is, Greg? He's a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he was. Well, he still is. He's still with us.
Trader Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I kill him?
No. I said he was, but he still is a jack of all trades.
That's a fine.
Man could do it all. Greg, I couldn't see you driving a charter bus, though.
No.
It's not even a charter bus. It's a school bus.
No, right. That's what I'm saying.
Big difference.
Short distances for Greg, I think.
Yeah. I'm not into being a Greyhound pilot, for example. I want a school bus or a city bus.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those two.
I was going to say I could see you in your older years driving a school bus, kind of like a retirement gig, but...
Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of getting there, though. No offense.
I'd also be the guy bagging groceries in Publix in 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, that'll be me.
Yeah. A little chit-chat, small talk?
I probably would be a small talk guy.
Yeah? What would your line be? Let's say I'm going out with like some eggs, some vitamins, milk, and a loaf of bread. What'd you say to me?
You're eating healthy, huh? How about that? And then if somebody is buying, you know, 2 12 packs of beer, I'd be like, ah, party time at your house. Am I right?
Yeah. Greg, you're taking the bag. You're taking their bags out to their car, regardless of whether they want you to or not. At least I know I would, right? Because then you're forcing them to make a decision on tipping. You know.
Right. Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, they make me wear that little pin that says no tipping, please.
I take that pin off. Right.
You put your name sticker over the no on that, and just right. Tipping, please.
Or I scratch out the no, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that what he just said?
Overly chatty grocery store worker. Like the person that I put all my items on the conveyor belt and they're like, oh, you're having Italian tonight, huh? It's like, don't assess what I'm having for dinner.
Parties at your house tonight,
yeah. A couple 12 packs are like, oh, party tonight. It's like
your dad. What your dad just described is what you're doing.
I don't like that. Like, don't make an assessment on what I'm doing this evening based on my grocery selection.
It's a 20-second interaction, though.
The cashiers at Publix are required to ask, did you find everything you needed? And I'm the kind of guy who literally answers them. And I'm like, no, I was looking for frozen lima beans and you didn't have any. And they never want to hear that response.
Yeah, well, the cashiers are not in charge of the lima beans, though. That's the thing. Nothing worse. Well, I guess there's worse things. But for the sake of the expression, nothing worse than when they move where things are in the grocery store.
We don't need
to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to reorganize the store for whatever the I know where everything is. I'm here all the time. Let's just keep things where they go.
Yes.
Why isn't there a template for Publixes? I feel like every Publix is like deli over here and then fruit over there and then meat over there. Like, shouldn't every one of them be the same? I have to get my bearings every time I go to a new Publix.
That's happened to me sometimes at either like a Target or a Walmart, where sometimes it's like the inverse of the opposite one. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. How are we doing everything the exact same way, but almost in a mirror from this other store? Like, I'm completely thrown off. And you'd think I'd know. All right, well, instead of one aisle to the right, it's now one aisle to the left. But no, it completely throws my brain off and I can't figure it out. I just walk around. Also, I don't know what it is. I'll go into one of those big stores, just have to stroll around, see what there is. Even if I know what I want, even if I know I'm just going to go in for one or two things, I always have to go by the electronics, check out to see what's going on with the TVs. I'm not buying a TV. I have a TV. I'm not getting any of that stuff. Need to see what new movies are out on DVD. Haven't bought a DVD in 10 years, but I want to see what's out there, what books are new, recommended by, you know, Sam Walton or whoever it is that recommends the books at Walmart. Got to check all that stuff out.
What's your favorite store to take a stroll around? My new favorite store, I don't really get much there, but Trader Jack's has become one of my favorite stores.
Trader to take Joe's? A little stroll around. That's Trader Joe's who got it. I don't think Jack McKeon is a supermarket chain.
I mean, Trader Joe's, by the way, would it kill them to have a name brand anything? Like, I have to figure out what everything is because everything is Joe's this and Joe's that, and everything has like a cute little kitschy name, and it's like, can we just like, where's the Coke? Where's the Pepsi? Like, can you just tell me where the things that I know are? Like, we don't need new names for everything.
All right, let's put all of these things on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Would it kill Trader Jack's? Would it kill Trader Jack's to have a name brand anything? Do you have to get your bearings every time you go in to a new Publix? Do you have to stroll around any big store you walk into?
Of course.
And does it enrage you that the grocery clerk is making an assessment about your party weekend based on the amount of beer in your cart? All of it at Levitard Show. Greg, are you ready to do a Back in My Day? You do not seem confident in your Back in My Day. It is rare. Should we do a Back in My Day where Greg Cody is not confident? Because he is saying publicly, and he doesn't do this very often, I'm not feeling good about what I have to do here.
Those tend to be the best ones. He likes to set the bar very, very low so he can exceed it. So I love when Greg says that. No, I know you hate it. I love it. Those tend to be the best ones.
I don't feel like we've ever had success here. If Greg thinks it's bad, it's going to be bad probably.
We've actually had some success, and Sugatz did the Sugatz thing where he makes one the new rule.
So we want to talk about Adnan Virk's debut. I don't know how he did last night. He very quietly ended up and very quickly ended up all of a sudden a big giant name in wrestling announcing. This kind of appeared out of nowhere, did it not? This is a surprise. You get to Metal Arc Media, then a couple days later, boom, your profile increases. This is a dream come true job for Adnan Virk.
Yeah, Sugatz, go ahead and take all the credit for Adnan's success. That happened quickly.
Well, I mean, listen, it was on the heels of him doing stupidity. It was on the heels of him, you know, being announced on South Beach Sessions that he is now a member of Meadowlark Media. I mean, we are stepping stones. Dan, that's what you and I have become. We are stepping stones for greater careers.
That is what Meadowlark is here for. We are here to elevate anyone it is who joins us. So tell the people, Mike, were you able to watch any of this? How was he received?
I watched Raw. Well, received. The internet wrestling community is very difficult. But I did watch with the sound on, which is not something I ever do to root for our guy, Adnan. And for first crack, that's a very difficult job. They just throw him with two people that he's never worked with before, polished professionals, but this is the first time he's calling wrestling at that level, and it's the first time he's working with these people at that level on live programming, no less. So it's a very difficult job. The feedback, I saw a lot of people willing to give him a chance. I saw a lot of people happy because they remember him from ESPN or MLB Network, and I saw a lot of people that were upset that he replaced the guy that was doing it before who was also good at it. So you'll, like anything, you have to give it time, and that's not necessarily what the internet wrestling community is known for.
I'm wondering, is this like a situation? Because Stephen A. is breaking things down. Adnan is just the voice. Like, the MMA community was not happy when Stephen A. started analyzing UFC fights. Or is the wrestling community not happy simply because they're comfortable with their voice? Well, they don't like Adnan?
This is the lead guy.
I didn't realize the wrestling community was that passionate about who calls their wrestling
matches. He's not
going
to be doing analysis, but I can imagine one of the criticisms before it's even started is he is a polished professional broadcaster, and my guess is, sight unseen, people want extra enthusiasm out of him.
He's got the enthusiasm. I think the feedback, some people really liked his enthusiasm, whereas the guy before is gone up through the ranks and is calling out move sets. Adnan doesn't know everybody's move, right? He's going to be reacting, but they've already done a pretty good job in letting the analysis, the color commentary guys, come in and actually call the move sets. So I think they're going to find their voice rather quickly.
The interesting part about kind of the wrestling play-by-play job is that it's not really about play-by-play. It's about pushing the story forward, right? It's not about, like, the technical aspects of it are somewhat important, and fans like to hear that you know all the moves. But it's more about you are responsible for pushing the story. It's interesting because Mike and I were comparing notes off of WrestleMania. He has a different experience being in the stadium and not being able to hear the commentators than I do at home, where they're constantly pushing the narrative and the story of what's going on.
They have their buzzwords. And it's a very difficult job that Adnan just agreed to, because how'd you like to get feedback as you're talking live, and that voice on the other end is Vince McMahon with a very particular idea of how he wants the messaging to go. He's basically shadow calling the events live, they call it the gorilla position, into your headphones live. So it's very intimidating, and I don't envy the job. It's a very tall order.
I look forward to talking to Adnan about that job, and I look forward to infiltrating his broadcast with, once he gets better at it, with listener phrases.
There was a hint of that, and I'm curious. Adnan's going to be joining us on Thursday. He's flying back from WWE Thunderdome right now, and I heard a collision course and some little breadcrumbs. It could just be part of his normal vernacular, but I'm excited. There are possibilities, although, like I said, Vince McMahon is in his ear the entire time. It's going to be hard to get these by him.
Did you guys hear when he said, "Hey, guys, it's Billy"? That was weird.
That is not a real thing.
Witty, can you paint the picture of what it looked like when you and Mike were comparing notes of WrestleMania?
Yeah, I had my legal pad.
Yeah, all analog.
It was
yellow pages. And I had a comprehensive breakdown of my thoughts on Bad Bunny's technique. We did the Canadian Destroyer. I'm like, I mean, that was extraordinary.
Luckily for you, he backed everything up, even though it was analog, with carbon paper. So he'll have notes. We'll pass them around when you get back.
A couple of dorks cutting it up. I mean, how about that?
I want to ask the group here, because Chris Whittingham, if you do not know, is a broadcaster extraordinaire. He is a prodigy around here. Chris Cody clearly threatened by him, because Whittingham is a professional broadcaster, and he is doing a bunch of MLS games this week. He is vastly overqualified to be spending any time in the shipping container, because he is somebody who is a broadcaster in front of the camera, and he is lending his time to us to help us because we're leaking every orifice of the pirate ship. Can we infiltrate his MLS broadcasts with any phrases, or is he too young in his career right now so that should Whittingham, Stugatz, be gentle here. Be honest. As someone who cares about Whittingham and his career, we don't want to sabotage. What are you giving me the Mutombo finger for, Billy?
Because I'm going to tell you what he's afraid to tell you, because we had this conversation off air last week. We're like, how long is it going to be before Dan starts asking Whittingham to be doing things in a broadcast and put his career in jeopardy? And I don't want to betray any confidences, but I'll just say one broadcaster on that conversation is like, not sure how comfortable I'd be doing that. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. Won't mention any names, but I'd say maybe let's leave him alone for a little bit. And then when he gets to like Monday Night Football, you come back and you're like, all right, you owe us one now.
I'm a little offended as someone who is also doing games. I'm doing lacrosse games. No one's asking me to weave show terms into the games. I mean, what's going on with that?
The strangest thing to get jealous of.
That's a real tree
fall. I want to be a part of it. I feel left out.
That's a real tree falls in the forest type situation, Sugats, when you call them lacrosse at 12 o'clock noon on a Thursday on Big Ten Network.
I want to toss into the maws of Sugats and Greg Cody a football question from yesterday. As it appears that Julian Edelman is retiring, I know there was a brief moment there where people saw that the Patriots had released him and immediately assumed, wait a minute, Scott Miller's job is in jeopardy in Tampa. I assume he's going to end up there immediately, but it turns out that it's just paperwork and Edelman is retiring.
I still think he'll figure out a way to be playing with Brady in Tampa Bay next season.
All right, Guillermo, put it on the poll. Will Edelman figure out a way to be on Gronk's shoulders by the time Tampa Bay takes its first snap next season?
Yeah, remember, Gronk was retired too, guys.
So, but let me ask before I ask you guys whether or not Edelman will be back, because Sugats has given you the opinion that he will be a Tampa Bay Buck next year. Yes or no, Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I'm so happy we're having this discussion. I wanted to do a sports thing. Yes. Okay, I got my notes. Carbon paper backed up. Whitty, you got your notes?
I've got what I feel like is the best notes. I don't feel like anyone's got better notes than me, but let's see if someone steals these notes from me, which are stolen from somewhere else. What do you have, Sugats? Yes or no, Edelman Hall of Famer?
No. Sniff test, no.
Wow, that's it. Okay, very quick. I'm glad you didn't elaborate, actually. It makes us go through this quicker without less painful analysis from you on Edelman. Greg Cody, are you a Hall of Fame voter?
I am not. And if I were, there's no way in hell I'm voting for Julian Edelman. You know, he was elevated by his proximity to Brady, but other than that, I think he's had a pretty much average career. I don't have his stats in front of me, in all fairness.
Average? I wouldn't say it was an average.
The eye test says no.
An average career is probably a bit harsh. He did not have an average career.
Debatable.
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did Julian Edelman have an average career? You guys got to be shitting me. Mike, what are your notes on this subject?
I would like to outsource my note to @561_Kev. Santana Moss has 3,000 more yards and 30 more touchdowns than Julian Edelman. Santana Moss has never, ever been considered a Hall of Fame finalist. This Julian Edelman talk is absurd.
Warren Sharp of Sharp Football says, love Julian Edelman, but compare his career to Hines Ward, who can't make the final ballot in Hall of Fame voting the last 5 years. Catches, Hines has 1,000, Julian has 620. Yards, Hines has 12,000, Julian has fewer than 7,000. TDs, Hines has 86, Julian has 36. Super Bowl MVPs, they both have one. Pro Bowls, Hines has 4, Julian Edelman has 0. So if Hines Ward is not a Hall of Famer, Julian Edelman cannot be a Hall of Famer.
There's only two words as to why Julian Edelman is even in consideration amongst Boston fans to be a Hall of Famer. And they are.
Here they are.
Why, guys? Why?
I would have gone Lombardi Trophy.
I would have got Tom Brady.
Throw it in your MLS. Throw it in your MLS broadcast. White guys.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
If the Dolphins trade up to get the fourth pick and they give up some of the stuff that they got for getting out of the third pick, was it a good move?
We're heading for a real draft day situation here. Where it's you trade back to trade up to trade back to trade up.
Well, Billy, who are you trading up to get, though?
Pitts.
What would they have to give up to get to number four now?
Well, that's the Falcons, right?
Well, it sort of depends on if there's an auction for four to get a quarterback, right? Like, what if someone is enamored with Fields? Like, speaking of the Patriots, I think, like, it's been rumored that the Patriots are really in on Justin Fields. How far up are they going to have to go? Because even after San Francisco presumably takes Mac Jones at three, there's still two quarterbacks, either Trey Lance or Justin Fields, that kind of you can have an auction for, which I think is why the Dolphins got up to six, in case their spot is the one where that auction takes place.
Stugatz doesn't trust Kyle Shanahan. Why don't you trust Kyle Shanahan, Stugatz?
Well, because Kyle Shanahan is walking around telling everyone, I'm telling you, Dan, this is what's happening, that he loves Matt Jones, the Alabama quarterback. I don't think he likes him at all. I think it's a total smokescreen. I think what Shanahan is doing there is he is giving you the appearance that he loves Jones, the quarterback from Alabama, so people will trade up. Because if Shanahan says, hey, this quarterback's going to be great, teams are going to be willing to trade anything they can to go up and get the quarterback that he deems that's going to be, you know, the next big thing in the NFL. And so I think it's a smokescreen to acquire more picks. And I think he's totally fine moving down a little bit in the first round and taking Trey Lance or taking Justin Fields. That is not a coach I trust. If you trust him, that's on you. I would not. That's my advice to everyone out there. When he says something, it means exactly the opposite.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. If you trust Kyle Shanahan, is that on you? Greg Cody was delighted by the phrase smokescreen. He was radiant. He looked post-coital. He was nodding his head vigorously as the mom in Always Sunny, and he was red-faced and just delighted with the idea of a smokescreen.
Why am I likened in appearance to an aging woman? I don't quite get that. What is the deal with that?
It's your haircut.
An aging man, yes.
It is your haircut, and I believe that we have photographic proof. I believe Juju on our social media accounts has put that out there. But I was just reading from some stats on Twitter. You guys realize that 3.3% of the population roughly is on Twitter? Like, only 7% of the population is on Twitter, and then half of it never says anything. So you got basically 3.5% of the population that is in anywhere in the world is active on Twitter, which means that you're just hearing from the same 3% all the time.
That's for the United States, which I also believe half of the accounts that are actually speaking, half of that half are just Russian bots or Turkish soccer fans that are doing photoshops of like footballers that are available on transfer.
And the people you're hearing from are the people you've chosen to hear from, who more than likely think exactly the same way you do. So really, Twitter doesn't offer you any source of anything other than what you kind of want to hear already.
Every election cycle, every 2 years, we find out, well, Twitter had me confused.
Our world was very small. I wanted to talk to you guys about something that has been devalued here. Before we get to the Greg Cody back in my day that he has no confidence in, we've talked before around here how quickly in the last 20 years baseball has changed in a number of different ways, not the least of which is Stugatz. Is it even possible, honest to God, in 2021, is it possible for anybody in baseball to do anything that would allow them to occupy a space in the American public consciousness that felt like Derek Jeter? Is it possible? Is there anything at all that could possibly happen in baseball? Personality type, team, position, anything that would give someone the mythical stardom of, let me long for the day of Joe DiMaggio, a pinstriped hero at shortstop, Derek Jeter. Is that even possible today?
I don't think it's possible. Certainly not with performance. It would have to be, because you have Mike Trout putting up numbers that we've never seen before. No one cares about him. It would have to be someone who kind of transcends the sport and does some stuff off the field. I don't think it's possible. I don't think people care enough about baseball. So
okay,
I don't think it's possible.
So in keeping with that, what's happened over the last two decades, what you had devalued is one of the many things, is the no-hitter. Basically, that used to be and whenever a no-hitter was thrown in baseball 20, 30 years ago, it's stop everything you're doing, tune into the game in the ninth inning. That's not what's happening anymore.
Tune into the game ninth inning would also lead SportsCenter. No matter what else happened in sports, a no-hitter would lead SportsCenter.
No, ESPN would break into games in the eighth inning if somebody was throwing a no-hitter.
Does a player in baseball, and I know this might sound like a strange question, even really need to go out and like transcend sports? Because the contracts now are so much where you have someone like Mike Trout who doesn't have to do anything, doesn't have to be known by anyone. He's making a ton of money, doesn't need to make any effort in getting people to know him, and he's good for life. Like, if you don't desire the limelight, why do you need to be part of the rest of modern culture?
Oh, I'm just asking if baseball can produce an icon today is all I'm asking. I'm not saying it's a bad gig to be Lindor or Tatis or Trout, guaranteed $340 million for the rest of your life and be anonymous. I'm just asking if baseball can have that place in anybody's consciousness today to turn somebody into a legitimate star that makes them an American icon. The way across a generation, the guys in our lifetime, Billy, are Jeter and they're Brady and they're LeBron. You know who they are. They're just the guys who get to be the and Michael Jordan. That's it.
I mean, Billy, going back to the 80s, you need to understand this. Like, Wade Boggs and Tony Gwynn were bigger than Dan Marino. It just was like the sport was so much more popular back then that baseball players were really the stars of all sports. Now it's football players and basketball players, but baseball players were by far the most popular athletes at one time.
I guess my question more, though, is like, does a baseball player even want to be an icon? Like, what would they get out of that? With the contracts being what they are, what's the point?
So would you want to be Derek Jeter is what Billy is asking there, because that speaks to what is going to feel like a bygone time. I would assume that anybody would want to be instead of anonymous. If you're looking at what's happening with children today, where instead of being doctors and lawyers, what they want to actually be is vloggers and YouTubers and influencers. Like if that's, I don't know who you're speaking to, Billy, whether it's your own fear of, you know what, I'd rather just make money and nobody ever looks at me. I don't know what, I think most people listening to this are saying, what are you talking about? Of course I'd love to be Jeter.
I guess my thing, though, is like kids now that want to be like vloggers and famous and rich and this and that, like that's how they see celebrities. They're like the YouTubers and TikTokers. And I sound really old saying this, but like once you've already made it in this sport and you've gotten the money, which is what kids want or whatever, like is the celebrity really worth it? Like what is the headache worth for a Mike Trout?
And that's what, yeah, it's a good point. Like, Dan, to transcend, to be an icon in baseball, I think you have to do stuff and be willing to say stuff that impacts things off the field. And if you're Stanton, if you're one of those guys, Trout, and you have $330 guaranteed dollars, why would you say anything? Just live the rest of your life happy in a mansion.
What are you talking about? What did Jeter ever say? He became an icon without saying anything ever. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but now, see, that's at a time where baseball was more popular, where people cared more about baseball. Now, if you want to be Derek Jeter and want to be cared about in that way, I don't think it's possible with just on-field performance. I don't.
Derek Jeter was Jeter in New York in Yankee pinstripes. If Derek Jeter was playing his whole career in Milwaukee, he wouldn't be the Derek Jeter that we know him
but
as today.
You can't be that kind of icon if you say stuff, Stugatz. It's the exact opposite. All of the guys we're talking about, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan, never said anything. Not a one of them. That's the only way to become an icon. But to Billy's point, I remember talking to your beloved Canseco about that, Billy. He so desperately wanted to be rich without the fame. He was always lamenting in a way that was, yes, seriously.
Really?
Yes, he was always lamenting, why can't I just be a doctor who makes a lot of money and nobody knows him while dating Madonna? Yes, while having photographs.
I don't believe this.
I mean, I'm telling
you. Are you sure? Jose Canseco?
I am promising you that he said that. It's hard to believe.
Bigfoot alien Jose Canseco with the goats in the back of his car and the missing chandelier didn't want to be famous?
That is correct, yes. But where I was leading us before we get to the back in my day is
the one that lost the finger.
That's correct. Lost the finger at a poker
game. And the fake fight because his brother went instead of him. Didn't want to be famous.
Yes, purple Speedo on the Surreal Life. Yes, he wore a purple Speedo on the Surreal Life. That guy did not want to be famous. He wanted to just be a rich doctor, he said. But the thing that I wanted to ask you about was the specifics.
Imagine Dr. Canseco. Sorry. You're just imagining showing up to Dr. Canseco now.
All nine fingers.
What happened, Doc? Well, I shut it off. You're fine. You'll be fine. Take some Advil.
The devalued.
Well, maybe not Advil. I got something that can fix that.
Fix anything.
The devalued no-hitter, the thing that I wanted to talk about with Joe Musgrove of the Padres throwing the first no-hitter in Padres history. The last team to not have a no-hitter. I thought the Mets didn't have one, but evidently I forgot the Johan Santana one that wrecked his arm and his career and his future because they made sure that he threw 180 pitches.
So we got Joe Musgrove. I was going to say a real fun game would be Mike tries to name anyone that's thrown a no-hitter in the last 4 years, and I'm going Joe Musgrove, Dan.
Okay, so let's see if you can get that list together, and I will read it to the audience at the end of this segment.
I can't get it. Someone else get it.
We will play that game, but the thing that I wanted to talk about with you guys for 2 days as it regards Joe Musgrove, because I don't think this was a pleasant experience for him throwing the no-hitter. And before you think that's a crazy take, it's because superstitiously he had to pee from the fourth inning on. That was a heroic performance we just saw, and no one's paying attention to it because it's a Padre on the West Coast. That dude went through five superstitious innings of needing to pee and the celebration afterward without going to the bathroom. And I believe it to be the biggest heroic performance since Curt Schilling bloody sock game in baseball. Do you guys know how hard it is to hold it for many, many innings? What are you shaking your head about, Billy?
Because he had to pee?
That's right.
And you think this is unpleasant for him? He grew up a Padres fan. He threw the first no-hitter in Padres history. You think that he would take it back just to pee?
Peeing, not needing to pee for five innings, I'm maintaining, in baseball, slow-ass baseball, is unbearable.
I think it's an amazing feat. I'm with you, Dan. They should upgrade it to a perfect game. I mean, they should.
Yes, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Should the no-hitter be upgraded to a perfect game because the pitcher had to pee for five innings and held it? Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now, it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Golf. So, inspired by Masters Week, I'm out playing golf on Saturday when all at once I hear loud music. Gotta be loud because it sounds far away, yet is so audible I can make out it's Kenny Chesney. Is it coming from one of the townhouses or high-rise apartments ringing the course? No. Then I realize the sound is coming from one of the golf carts in the foursome about 100 yards in front of us. What the? Nobody has a boombox anymore, so it must be a Bluetooth speaker blasting or something like that. Breach of golfing decorum! I shout at the top of my lungs. But all I can hear is Chesney yodeling about some beach in Mexico. Who plays music on a golf course? Just about everybody my age, Christopher informed me. Christ, golf used to be the church of sports. You could count on the tranquility and quiet. The symphony of golf is in the small sounds, the muted golf clap, the plasticky click of ball dropping in cup. When I'm playing golf, the only sounds I want to hear are birds chirping and Christopher saying, "Nice shot, Dad," which I never hear because when I sink my annual birdie putt, he's on the phone checking stocks or listening to music in his earbuds. Another thing, that guy with the loud music in his cart, he was one of those annoying golfers who sucked but wanted to look the part. As we caught up to them at a tee box a few holes away, I noticed he had his name embossed on his bag and was wearing long pants like they do on the PGA Tour. Also, he was one of those guys who meticulously towel cleaned his club and replaced the cover after every shot, including that 30-yard drive he just topped. Amateur athletes, dress like you play. If you stink, let your clothing reflect that. Why do you think Greg Cody wears cargo shorts and 20-year-old golf shoes? The only thing worse than Mr. Double Bogey wearing long pants on a golf course is the guy on a fancy bike wearing an advertising festooned competition jersey like he's climbing the Pyrenees in the Tour de France. Hey, Lance, you're on an $80 Schwinn. Get real. The worst thing that's happened to golf is the trend toward listening to music on the course. Another example of the scourge of multitasking. The only music I want to hear on a golf course is the sound of a cart girl saying, "Another round of Miller Lights, gentlemen. I'm Greg Cody," and that's how it was back in my day.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is the worst thing to happen to golf the scourge of people listening to music on the course?
It's true.
I mean, there are some outraged people here. Me and Mike Ryan. I have a tricked out golf cart. It has speakers. I blast music all the time. And Mike Ryan is the worst golfer but best dressed person on any course that he steps on. I mean, he is.
I'm in on golfing for three reasons: the fit, the drinks, and the tunes.
Chris, you were mortified that entire time your father was talking. You guys have a very different experience on the golf course. Look at him. He's glowing right now, your father, longing for a time where damn music couldn't be heard on the course and all he'd hear was, "Nice shot, Dad." He is pining right for 1950s America.
Christopher never pays attention on a golf course. I could hit a 240-yard drive, which for me is really good, and he wouldn't say a word.
Greg, I have played with you three times now. You've never hit a drive north of 200 yards.
Seriously. That's what it is. I mean, the good shots are not, you know, not very common, the good shots.
Yeah, so log them when they happen.
You're so old. Everybody likes listening to music on the golf course. Like, now you're just trying to annoy me.
I'm supposed to be quiet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.